There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Washington, D.C. at the Federation for American Immigration Reform event. They're hold their feet to the fire event. Good to be back here. Good to see a lot of folks from the Alabama delegation coming up in just a little bit. AL2's Representative Barry Moore is going to join us. So that's coming up this hour. Plus State Senator Chris Elliott from Montgomery. We're, of course, special session going on prisons. So we'll get into that. And big thank you to Mike Ward's Liberty Safes for making this possible. Go see them right there at the corner of Moffitt and 65. Check out those Liberty Safes, just like the one I have in our house. Also, let me give you a heads up here. So if you're looking at your business, could be a side business, could be your main business, could be any business that requires printing out postage, stamps.com is who we use. And here's why we made the change. Okay, number one, saving time. In other words, not having people on staff having to go out and get stamps. When you pull out the little stamp thing, you're like, oh gosh, we got two left and that's it. Okay, stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. A must-have for any business out there. You simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it to. And once your mail's ready, you just schedule a pickup or you just drop it off in the mailbox like we do. It's that simple. And with stamps.com, you'll get discounts of up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com, it's a no-brainer. Saves you time, saves you money. No wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use stamps.com, and add us to that number. We've been doing it for a couple of years now. So stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and when you use my promo code Sean, you'll get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, no long-term commitments or contracts. So just go to stamps.com. Here's the two. Sorry, I get choked up about it. Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my first name, Sean. Stamps.com, promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. All right, so we go through some text here, too, before we get AL2's Barry Moore on. All right, several texts about what Congressman Brooks had to say about his conversation with Congressman Swalwell there on the first base. It's pretty interesting. I mean, so we're sitting there at the game last night, just looked at it. I didn't know what they were saying. We're six or seven rows up. But that is kind of a weird world, isn't it? You got somebody who's suing you. You got somebody who served you with papers. Remember the whole story of going inside their garage there at the Brooks house, and then you got them on first base. So David says, one politician saying that he understands that another politician is playing politics by suing him is like the... It's like the first politician whispering sweet nothings into the second politician's ears. Did Mo Brooks and Eric Swalwell go to Kumbaya Chapel and make up? I don't think so. I didn't see that. Tony said, Mo is giving the Democrats too much credit. Do you think they can intentionally hit to second? Ha ha. Adam says, my wannabe foreman is the Joe Biden of construction foreman. It's always looking confused. If confused, it makes no sense. Doug says elections, just another thing that Biden can reclassify the definition of. Some of the tells up here going on right now, it's not just like I'm seeing it here and you're not seeing it at home, but y'all watch the fact that Speaker Pelosi is not holding this vote this week. This is really big. And you think about Okay, so the Biden administration, the disaster of Afghanistan, that's number one, right? That's bringing down, because you see the cratering poll numbers for President Biden. I think Afghanistan, for me, a big driver. I think for a lot of people it is. Look at the economy, look at inflation. And then you look at something to the effect of a signature, a thing that he's talked about that, you know, in the old days, it used to be able to bring Democrats and Republicans together on infrastructure. And it's not happening. If they would have had the votes, we were told that on the 27th, they would have had the votes. That's when they would have taken the vote, right? So that didn't happen. Monday came and went. No vote called on that. And now no vote called Tuesday. No vote called on Wednesday. And today is Thursday. And still no vote called on what is, you know, we're told is the signature legislation for President Biden. And no vote called. And I tell you what, we can ask that question to somebody who spends time right there where those other votes are called, but not the vote on infrastructure. AL2's Congressman Barry Moore joining us. I was saying, Congressman, that I came in and was told Monday, the 27th, was going to be the infrastructure vote, right?
Well, we've been hearing rumors about that all week.
Did y'all have a vote on Monday?
We did not on that. I think Pelosi's trying to get the progressives, the really left, to kind of come aboard. And so it seems to me they're struggling to get their act together. And you hear sometimes they've got the votes and then they don't call them. So we just don't know what to expect. And that's what, you know, the leadership's been that way since Pelosi took over. It just hadn't been very organized. And I think at times she used to kind of, she lived in the world of the moderate Democrat and we kind of woo the progressives. Now she's over there in the progressives trying to woo the moderates sometimes and vice versa. So it's interesting. I tell everybody, you know, Pelosi's going to be done here in the midterms. We're going to get the majority. But there are days I think she's just striking a match and throwing them over her shoulder. She walks out the door. This place is a mess. You know, she's burning the building down.
And it makes me happy that it's slowing down that process. My problem is those moderate Democrats out there, what are they? They're still not moderate enough to say that $3.5 trillion, what I call the sidecar wish list bill. They're still on board with that. It's going to be tweaks within that. They're not going to throw that out and let the $1.3 trillion, the one that's least closer to infrastructure, pass.
Right, and I think really, and we've got to be thankful that Joe Manchin is kind of they're trying to give Joe a win. I mean, right. If he can say, well, look, I defeated the $3.5 trillion and I've got it to $1.9 trillion, which is atrocious all the same, and very little to do with infrastructure, because maybe $400 million, if you were kind, would be infrastructure. Right. The rest of this stuff is not concrete, roads, bridges, broadband, things we think about, utilities. So Manchin is kind of holding the line. An interesting side note is his best friend's Nick Saban. If y'all know Nick, I'm an Auburn grad. I won't be calling Nick, but if
I'm an Alabama grad, I'll
call
do my
down
best
and say, yeah. Nick, talk to Joe. We need all the help we can get. But Joe Manchin is the most powerful Joe in D.C. right now.
That's funny, because it is not the president.
It is not the president. It is Joe Manchin, and Sinema's holding the line. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the Democrats do. I know the pendulum swings from time to time, and we'll get the majority in the midterms, but it is painful to watch what's going on.
Well, it is a question, too, that this week, Hell Week, as I've dictated it, you're in the fires, you're in the building, but it sure is. And as you look at the approval rating for President Biden cratering,
39% I saw earlier. I hope it drops lower than that.
And in places in swing states, what was interesting, look at those big drops in Colorado and Texas and places like that where, you know, that it just falling apart. On the backdrop of this is turn on any channel and look at the border.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the border, I think the border, I tell it, we have a saying on our team, and we started out, we're living the dream. And that was kind of because we were driving late nights and driving all over the state, and we were freshmen, and we were trying to learn and deal. And now we have a saying, we're living the dream one nightmare at a time. It's via Joe Biden. I mean, it was the border crisis, and then we have an inflation issue, and then you have Afghanistan, and now vaccine mandates, and then this crazy spending package. And so one nightmare at a time is kind of how we see how they're managing this process, at least for the American people. But I think his numbers are dropping. Honestly, the word is kind of that the vaccine mandate came about because Afghanistan was such a debacle, they were trying to change the narrative.
Okay, Congressman, help me with this. So, Ed, you're a freshman congressman, but you've been here long enough, maybe you can educate me. Why would you, on the backdrop of the embarrassment of Afghanistan, why would you run a vaccine? It's like, I don't understand the political calculus, because if I'm trying to get away from that Afghanistan debacle and I'm President Biden, I don't go to something like this. It's going to affect, make regular Americans, Democrat voters, you know, and blue-collar jobs lose their job.
Well, you know, and I agree with that. But I think a long time ago, the Democratic Party had forgotten the middle class, and they're starting to wake up to that. When you got a couple million people coming across the southern border taking those jobs, they're not being vaccinated, they're not being tested. We don't know if they got COVID.
Right.
And so what happened, I think, was the base, the Republican base, had already mobilized against Biden. They were so upset about the border crisis, which we did a good job of getting coverage on that and going down and visiting them, trying to get the media to pay attention to what they're doing to our southern border. I think the red base had already mobilized against Biden. We had a lot of energy. Afghanistan, he started to erode. I think he went left on the vaccine mandate just to try to mobilize their base and energize them. That's all. There is no other way you can explain what he's doing to the American people and so many of our military and contractors and private sector people.
I think about it this way, too, that I know there's going to be challenge. It's going to end up having, because y'all don't have majority, it's going to have to go through a judicial, right? This is going to have to, I know that Attorney General Steve Marshall talked about Alabama being one of the states that will sue on this. Because there's not really a legislative remedy right now. Or am I right, Congressman?
No, the timeline is so difficult, especially for active duty military, where they're the mandates and the government contractors on military bases, like I've got Maxwell Gunner and Fort Rucker. The timeline for that is so tight that we almost can't wait for the judicial process. But being in the minority, we're trying to navigate through that right now and protect the whistleblowers, try to protect the people that are saying, hey, there's a problem with this mandate. There are some health concerns we have. We didn't vet this vaccine fully, and we don't know what it's going to do to our fighting forces. It could actually be a national security issue if we let this thing get out of hand, and we just don't know enough about it yet. And I would like for us to pause and take a look, but I don't know if the certain groups in our society are willing to let the science really follow the science in the process.
And it depends on which day you ask them.
Yeah, and if you go through the judicial branch, I mean, that concerns you, because the wheels of justice turn slow sometimes, and for some of these people, it'll be too late.
And what is it? Yeah, and some people will lose their jobs. I mean, I look at this just as a businessman, that if I have 103 employees, right, and this arbitrary and capricious nature of it being 100 or more, or 100 less, all of a sudden, either people get 1099s or they get fired. You know, they become contractors.
Sure.
I react to what government does as a business person by making the okay. Now we got 99 employees.
Yeah,
somebody lost their job. Somebody lost their job because of this. So somebody, because of this mandate, then doesn't get a paycheck, or doesn't get the paycheck they did before, or the benefits, or they become 30 hours a week instead of 40.
And never mind the freedom-loving Americans who may even be vaccinated, but at the end of the day, rather than let the government tell them what they're going to do, they will walk off a job.
Yep.
Instead of going and taking a vaccine or getting a passport to do business. And I think that's a concerning thing for our country. So there are going to be businesses, obviously, that have to make adjustments, and there are going to be individuals that are going to have to stand for liberty in this very challenging time. And that worries me for our people. But I think the American people have always risen to the occasion. I'm sure we will not fail now.
Because it is hard. If you take it from what y'all do, I mean, if y'all take it from this, and let's just regular Alabama folks, if I don't want to take a vaccine, but I got a family, right?
Yes.
I'm being compelled to do something that, you know, and if people want to get the vaccine, I'm not anti-vaccine, but if somebody doesn't want to, I have to make a choice between feeding my family and doing something that I don't want to do. It
shouldn't be political. You don't have to be anti-vaccine to be pro-liberty, right?
You're singing my song, Congressman.
That's what I was hoping you were saying.
You know, and people say that. People are like, oh, you got to, what side of this are you on? I said, I'm on the side of liberty.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean it's not, I'm not upset if somebody wants to get vaccines and people want to get vaccinated, but it's...
It ought to be the individual liberty choice. It ought to be that person's choice to choose. As government, I have no business telling them, because I could be that same government official down the road. They say all the time, hey, you know, what are you doing with these mandates? I said, look, you need to stand for liberty, individual freedom. We have to do that as a society. And when you get enough pushback, government usually wakes up, but they're slowing the uptake. But it takes people of courage.
But it's absolutely
tough. You're in some tough spots. I had a guy call me in Fort Rucker the other night, 58 years on the job, and he's going to walk off before he comes up under this mandate. That's going to be troubling for national security and for military forces around the country if a lot of these contractors say, we're not doing it.
So where does the critical mass on that, right? That's the question. That's the calculus on this. When there are not, there's a certain number, and I don't know what it is, but of people, military, public service, or whatever, that say no, that then It has to be enough. And then there's a certain number where they go, well, I guess we can't do this. But I don't know what that number is.
Yeah, and I don't either, brother. And that's kind of the $2 million question. I really do not know what that number is. But at the end of the day, I think it's we're starting to see some people push back in some areas that used to be allies to the Democrats, and that's helpful to us.
Coming right back, more of our conversation. And we're talking our neighboring district, AL2. Congressman Barry Moore is our guest. We'll be right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile live in Washington, D.C. for the Federation for American Immigration Reform's Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. Talking to AL2's Barry Moore, who I got to watch on the baseball diamond last night. Y'all had a good game and won this for the first time in a long time.
Since 2016.
Did you say anything like, that's because I'm here now? Did you?
No, I did predict a win, though. I felt like our freshman class was going to contribute pretty heavily this year. And the one thing the Biden administration has done right, and I will say this to their credit, Cedric Richards was a pitcher for the Democrats. He was throwing 80 miles an hour.
I watched
it. The Biden administration brought him over to the White House.
He's so we didn't have advisor,
to hit him.
Right.
Yeah, so we didn't have to hit him.
He had been there for how many years?
Yeah, I don't know. They said, I guess the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, he would pitch six,
got those
innings.
Heat.
Yeah, nobody could hit the guy. So that's one thing the Biden administration has done right since I've been in D.C.
Let's talk about one of the many things that are going wrong and why we're here at this event, and that's immigration. You spent some time on the border.
Yes, a couple of trips to the border. And
give us some insight, like real people stuff.
So, you know, here's the thing, and I tell everybody this all the time. A closed border is a compassionate border, because as we begin to visit and talk to the agents, the border is being controlled. The southern U.S. border is being controlled, but it's being controlled by the cartel. It's not being controlled by the Border Patrol agents on the northern side. It's being controlled by the Mexican cartel on the southern side. And like you said, they kind of break it up in their control grids out there. And if you're going to pass this certain section, you're going to pay your dues to come through there. They got a price on your head, and it depends on where you're coming from. I've heard 4,000 from Mexico, the triangle countries with this Honduras down El Salvador there. It's about $8,000. Then Syria, even, there was $20,000. If you wanted to pay $20,000, you could come from Syria. And the way they were doing it, and it was interesting to me, is you got these citizens who want to come to this great nation, and they want to do it across the border, and they're going to pay the cartel. Well, if they don't have the money, you can pay your homage kind of two ways. Your passage is you can be a drug mule. You can put fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine in your backpack and come across. That pays your passage. Or you can be an indentured servant or a slave to the cartel and make payments. And so, at the end of the day, Biden's border policies, or lack of policy, has created drug trade, drug mules, and trafficking, human trafficking, and so, or a slave trade, if you want to put it that way. And so, we're going to approach, you know, close to 2 million probably this year. It's a little bit over 1.3, I think, right now, that have crossed our border illegally. And that doesn't count the recent 15,000 Haitians that we released. And so, it is a mess.
But you had Mayorkas.
Those drugs are coming to your country.
Yeah, and you jump back and forth here. But to have Mayorkas, I mean, just said, yeah, we did. I mean, 8,000 of them, we just turned them loose in the country.
Yeah, and
I mean, we know it's been coming, COVID, but it was the matter-of-fact way that he said it that, to me, was chilling.
Yeah, the deal was cut. I think Biden cut a deal with the far left in this country a long time ago that we're just going to have open border policies. And so there's no apologies about it, and it's steadily every day it's putting a strain on our system, our healthcare system, our healthcare workers, our education system, and ultimately our welfare systems. All of this is just going to burden our country and the American taxpayer. And
the American taxpayer is not the regular worker in this country is what I don't understand. On this one issue, I think there ought to be some real deep introspection for Democrat voters that are looking at their wages stagnating. I mean, there's a reason this happens.
They brag all the time about being the party of the middle class, and they're bringing people across the border that are going to displace the workers. They're going to take their jobs.
I mean, it's simple math.
And then you're going to raise their taxes if they are working.
Right.
By the way, you're going to print a bunch of money to help offset some of this stuff, which is inflation, which is a tax on everybody. So they speak, they're hypocrites on a grand scale.
I appreciate your time. We're going to have to get you back on the show real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Hey,
there he is, Barry Moore. And go watch some of the highlights from last night's baseball game. We'll talk about those. Coming right back, taking you to Montgomery. Prison bill in the mix. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us next.